I'm your host, Elihu Bey. We're waiting for Imam Muhammad to come to the studio. But in the meantime, we'll prepare. They talk until he can arrive. Give me 1 second. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks Block Talk Radio. We're going to fill in for Imam Murad this evening. I'm Elihu Bey. I come on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. The topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waraquddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran, which if you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmurad.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, we open with a short dua, so we're going to open this evening with a short dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The topic this evening is the Ramadan conversation. The spirit never dies. Lecturer Imam Waraquddin Muhammad. So back there, and this is the topic that we've been doing on Wednesdays and Thursdays, so I want to go to that. So back there, but it is nothing like what the language points to in the future. But all the time that's going on, God promises is with the people. Actually, the promise he made the first time was with the first man. It was with Adam. And when he told Adam that, all this is for you. I made it to yield its benefit to you. So when he told Adam that, that was the first promise. Then came his promise to Abraham. Because man went out on his own and made the whole world difficult for a righteous person to live in. So then he makes his promise to Abraham, our second father. And he made his promise to Abraham before he revealed to Moses. So Moses is doing his part of the book, his scripture. He's living his part of the scripture. His people are living his part of the scripture. But at the same time, God promises is still hanging over their head, still dangling over their head. They went to get out of Egypt. They want to have independence so they can live like the Egyptians live. So they say, we aren't interested in this conversation that you want to have with your God. We know how to get out over. So we want to get over like Egypt got over. Aaron, can you help us? And he could. That's why God gave Moses Aaron, because Aaron could read the wisdom of the ancient Egyptians. That's why God gave Aaron to Moses as an assistant or as a helper, so that when he to meet the challenge of the Pharaoh, high priest, those who were high in the secret knowledge or the hidden knowledge, he had Aaron to help him. Because like Prophet Muhammad, he couldn't read scripture. He couldn't read the language of the secret religions or the wisdom. So they said, make us a golden calf. Now, if they asked the question, they knew the wisdom existed. They weren't an ignorant society, but they knew that he was the most advanced in that skill. That's why they asked him to do it. They said, make us a golden calf. And what he said to them is, reply says, exactly what I just said. He said, give me your earnings. Give me the wisdom that you hear. That rings the bell for you. You got a lot of wisdom here in this gathering or in this community of faithless Jews. They were a people of no faith. They didn't have faith. Did you see any time that they leaned back on their faith? They never leaned back on their faith. All the crises in their life. And you never heard in the scripture that the Jews cried out upon their faith. Brother Imam, I don't know exactly how to ask this, but you were explaining about faith and patience and how you got to have faith and we have to have patience and how it started. You said with Adam, and then it progressed. Could us having patience could be something like had explained before about 2 weeks ago? You were talking about light years and how in a light year with God, you could be right here. But it will take you a long time to get there. So if this world, if we are people of expediency, and a lot of us want things to happen right now. And if it doesn't happen now, then it's like, what has he done for you lately? So I'm asking, if our faith is not strong, then our patience will be weak. Then the success that this person or people might be looking for might take a long, long time. So could that be like light years? If we don't have the faith and the patience. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, sure. And the expression light years that expresses was introduced by science, the science of the stars of the bodies in the sky. They know the scripture. They knew that when God said 1,000 years of your time is maybe like 1 year with God. So when they talked about distance, for an example, distance in miles, after a while, these perceptions of time measurement, they became so burdensome. So when you are talking about the distance of planets or galaxies from one another, so to make it easy, they say light years. Where did they get that language from? You know, light is also wisdom and knowledge. So light years to understand it outside of this, they borrowed it from religious language. Science borrowed it from the religious language. In fact, they borrowed most of what they have from religious language. So they express light years, the expression light years. It helps us understand how we see our year with God in comparison to a year with a man. Man based his time measurement on movement of the physical things, objects. So the sun is a physical object, and it starts in the morning, the dawn, and it goes and sets, and that's a certain amount of time. And when it comes back and shows again, it's only a day, one day, 24 hours. So this is how man measures time. And we survived one winter, and now we are ready for spring, and good times and good works and comfortable temperatures are going to end, and we will start winter all over again. That's a year. But look what has happened. Our physical picture of change in man's life. Or what about an idea? How long would it take to materialize? How long would it take to bring about a change that idea has potency to bring about? So this is a light year with God. A picture of a light bulb coming on is a perfect picture explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. So it depends upon how clear the idea is. So if it's too obscure, it is not going to give you much light. It isn't going to show you too many things. People think that is white, that light is white, but it is not. Only certain substances burn white. They heat up white. But light isn't white. If light was white, you couldn't see. Pure light is transparent. And another thing that's good to observe about light, they say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, that the whole universe bends. And that even light bends. But when you see clouds separate and commit small openings after a darkness or a heavy rain, you see color bending. That's the rainbow, but you see light going straight. Light doesn't bend, it goes straight. Have you ever seen the beams coming down through the clouds? They come straight. So God They come perfectly straight. So God has put his sign in his works. You heard the expression, he tries to bend the truth. You can't bend light. So the people of the first knowledge, you are outbabe, not in the Quran only, in the world. The people of the first knowledge, and that's the knowledge born in man upon his observation of the objective world, that's first knowledge. So the people of the first knowledge, they apply it. Their instructions was to apply it. Don't just hold it and feel some kind of sense of security because you got it and others don't have it. No, you should apply it, use it in the world. So what we call the exact science or what we call the scientific world is the world that got the light and it applied it. So they are using it and getting the benefit and benefit society with what they have. So they make it work in the world. And they are so advantaged over the spiritual world that they have lost patience with the scriptural world. And some of them have separated perception from spiritual matters, from God. They say, you can only perceive what's possible for you in this material world. Forget about this other stuff that these other guys are busy with. Forget about it. So we are supposed to be leaders in the world, not leaders in some hidden zone above the people's head in the sky. So they have divided the world into spiritual and material, secular, and religious. And it looks like they are the bad guys. But they want of God, is the one that aspires to rise up upon the air breath of the earth, and set himself up in heaven, and God Steve. He wants to get up there and take the position that the people see as the seat of God. He wants to get up there and take that seat and show himself as God. Now, if we just look at religion as it has presented itself in the history of man, religion is where you find the devil, the Satan, the oppressor. Satan comes in sizes according to Islam. There are the little Satans, there are the middle-sized Satans, and there are the big Satans. So this big Satan is the one that aspires to get up the seat of God and sit on that seat, presenting himself as though he is God. Now, if the figure of Jesus Christ as a white person, if that's not the worst thing that the world has done, tell me what it is. To put God in an image of the race that works for dominance and uses racism to suppress or oppress and hold back one people in to free and advance another. So the white and the black races. So if that isn't the biggest crime and the worst crime against God in religion, tell me what is. Now, they don't want you to talk about that, but if you saw those Jews talking, they have no respect for Jesus Christ at all. Why? Because they know that they have influenced the Gentiles who were pagans before people believed in physical pictures more than they believed in the pure knowledge. They convinced them to accept the image of a man as a god, and they called him Jesus. So they really laugh to themselves about Jesus. They say, Jesus is not real. He does not exist. He never did exist. That's what we give them, because that's what the world, that's what would satisfy them. So they were used to seeing God in their own image, so we gave them a God in their own image. But that's not something we recognize. That's not for us. That's for them. So as far as we are concerned, he never lived. He never existed. That's in their minds, not all Jews, but the great majority. They don't have to be Orthodox. They can be a modern Jew, all of them. The great majority of them have no belief in Jesus Christ. You haven't even heard any of them acknowledge his existence. Nevertheless, acknowledge him as a prophet. So David was a Messiah, God says, and he anointed his head with oil. So David is the first of the Messiahs for the Jews. But what is David really? Is he a real person, a person that has a real place in the history of the civilization and mankind? No. There is no David. David is a picture of a movement in the Jewish religious thinking, spiritual thinking. That's all he is, a movement. And they say, well, we can't accept any Messiah unless he comes from the house of David. So you made this person real. We can't accept him. No. He is supposed to represent a movement in the religious thinking of the Jewish people. God only begotten, they say, if you can't show us that, then we ain't accepting it. And if you understand the Quran says he is spirit and a word from God. So in other words, he is nothing but an influence. He is language and an influence, and what influences the course of civilization more than the language. Nothing has advanced man in the material world more than language. So if you don't have language, you can't advance. So the most primitive society that exists today, they have the most undeveloped language. But those languages that have engaged external reality and man's own reality, those are the languages that have become universal. And they are the language that carries light and moves man into civilization. So this world, Jesus Christ, he makes it very plain. In the beginning, there was a word. Before the foundation of the word, I am, I existed. That's the Bible, because he had to exist first to materialize the knowledge so that we will have foundation for the world. So I think I said this with Raphael a long time ago. But if you could understand it, if you could get this picture and not have it snatch you out of the confusion, snatch you out or confuse you, all that man has achieved in the world or in or on this earth is nothing but an unfolding of what is in him already. God gave man an appetite, a mental appetite for everything in creation. And then how he engages matter in response to it and then reproduces it is what has given us all that we have. So the advancement of the knowledge and science, the evolution of it, or the advancement of it is focused as a human person. So when we look at the human person, we see by way of interpretation or translation, we see the future creation. So we see the world that we see now, the world of man, the world of his products, his production. We see the environment of man, for he is our physical body. But look where he comes from. Look where that material body started. It started in something that you can't even see with your physical eyes. And the more it grows towards its destination or its maturity or its fulfillment for its own growth and development, the more complex it gets and the more productive it gets. It starts with a germ. You can't even perceive that you can't see with your physical eye, as far as your physical eye is concerned. If you were to question your physical eye, you would say, does this exist? Yes. The physical eye would say, no, I can't find him anywhere. So we already existed in a germ. And the germ, like a seed, if it places in the right environment where it can rest and be comfortable and not disturbed by anything, it starts to grow in that environment and it turns out to be a complete structure, a human person, and delivered from the computer or from the factory called the mother. A full person then, when that full person comes into the world, it starts feeding on everything it can reach. And then a world that had no visibility either starts coming into form. So actually the human person was a condition that was to happen before even the world could be formed or have existence. I'm not talking about the world God made. That was out there long before human. The world that counts with us is the world of man, not just the world that God made. So the world that God made is nothing but food for man. And he says he made the whole world for his human creation. And he didn't create man for any purpose greater than the purpose of his mercy. What is his mercy for? His mercy is to relieve the burden on life. What life? Human life. There isn't any burden on any other life. They are not even aware of burden. Everything that hunts them, they think it was necessary. It was expedient, consequences. But man questioned consequences. And he says, why does this happen? And I believe I can change this. So this is philosophics. So this is religious philosophics and scriptural philosophics. So this is philosophics, but philosophics has to come before science. So there was no possibility for science to develop before philosophic developed. So man had to first fall in love with the creation, with God's handiwork. He had to first fall in love with God's handiwork and extract from what he engages direction for his own intelligence and for his heart. And when he was able to do that pretty soon, he caused the material world to open up and reveal its hidden nature or its hidden operation that you don't see readily. So you have to have experiments, et cetera, to see the inner working of the material reality. So if he hadn't fallen in love with God, he wouldn't have fallen in love with knowledge. And if he hadn't fallen in love with knowledge, he would have fallen in love with God. And if he hadn't fallen in love with something external beyond himself, he would never have gotten the pure science. So this is all true. And they say, we wouldn't have found our path if you had not directed us to them. That's in the Quran. Except by God guiding us to these paths. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Maraj speaks Block Talk Radio. The philosopher says God was a hidden treasure, and he created man because he wanted to be discovered. But does God have an ego like humans, like man, such that he wants to be known for his high values or divine existence? No. Why does he want to be discovered? Then why did the philosopher say he was a treasure? Because if the human mind pictured as Abraham hadn't searched the existing world, or reality to make sense of it and hadn't come to the conclusion that this is one system of logic, it is not a conflict with itself. And that tells me that it couldn't have happened without a purpose and without it being designed that way because I am a mind. I am a human and I am a mind. And this world feeds my mind and has fed my mind and has shown me its unity. So my conclusion is there must be a living reality behind it that's of a different nature and superior to it that causes it to exist. And he did it all for the human being, for his creation, so that his creation would advance and have conflict, unmanageable. He created many expressly, for his mercy. So when I was a young minister, I reflected on the so-called primitive people and how the Indians and other primitive people have tried to show the evolution of man and put preachers on a totem pole showing a progression for life that all these lives are in one stream or in one progression. And this is a picture of diagram of something showing man's existence with all of these other creatures and man extended higher in the pole. So philosophically thinking, and that's my nature to think that way, and it's philosophical thinking is a forward step or progression that eventually upholds its exact science. So philosophically thinking, I am a man and I think, and I have more freedom to think. And there are more possibilities for me as a free thinker than it is for any other life that exists. I'm made of the world. My living body is made of the world. It came from the world that God created. And then my mind is influenced by the world God created, and it comes to life and starts to form and grow because of its feeding on the life that God has created. So I eat chicken, and when I eat chicken, the chicken has a chance to rise higher to the highest possibility for flesh or matter. So when he enters my matter, when he becomes a part of my matter now, he is in a situation that lifts him up to the highest possibility for living things. Can you see how it is justified that God gives us these things and that he said he created man for the world and the world for man? The world has no real purpose without man, and man has no real purpose without the world. So if we look to make sense of things, we can do it much better than anybody that's trying to do it without the guidance of God. In fact, we are the only ones that can do it. Now, you tell me, I eat, and what I eat replenishes my cells in my body. So you tell me this, my flesh isn't chicken. So this is chicken and fish, and this is lamb, and this is goat, and this is oxen, hydrogen. This is everything that comes into my body. So as God crowns the creation with me, everything has been crowned or lifted to the seat or to the throne because of my existence. Now, if you can't follow that line of reasoning, then look at it this way. They can't appreciate each other. They can't appreciate their own existence. But God has created me to appreciate myself and all of the things in the framework that's wonderful and beautiful. Actually, their reality remains low until man engages them in his thinking, even if we can't see the material proof that these things have been not put down, but they have been put on earth to be lifted up once they are in a man. So if they can't see that, then see at least that by themselves they have no real existence, existence of glory. But when they came into the life of man and became part of his world, they are raised up in importance and value. Their meaning becomes so much greater. So everything is fed into the higher and that intelligent man. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Students are taught about the food chain. But what about man's consuming all of them, whether he takes them physically into his body or not? So with his intelligence, he is consuming all of them. So their concept becomes much more important once man brings their concept into the vision or into his reading of matter and the world. So, but that's real. Whatever you consume, if it is consumed by your flesh, it becomes your flesh. And the reason why we can't eat pig, we digest pig with our mind, with our intelligence. But the Muslim can't eat the flesh of a pig or of a hog. That's how to do with physical psychology and moral interest. In the history of man's progression as a civilizer, the man once ate with little moral discretion. He was hungry, so he killed something, tore the hide off of it, and ate it raw. But if he smelled it and thought it wouldn't kill him, he would eat it. So that's how he survived. But the more nature in him grew, as he interacted with the world, the more nature in him grew, and it grew to become so strong that he couldn't stomach his past behavior. Now he wants to wash it up, clean it up, and he doesn't even want to eat it raw. He wants to cook it. So he rises up in a level of moral insight and moral discretion, that he looks at a thing that just arose disgust in him. The behavior is disgusting, pig behavior, disgusting, pig sounds, disgusting. And he says to himself, if I accept this thing into my life as a support for my life, and I continue to kill and eat it, it is going to affect my moral nature and my human sensitivity. So it is going to affect me psychologically. So I don't like to flirt. I don't like to fart in the presence of people eating around me. But this thing farts even in the face of the other pig that's eating with him and makes all of these nasty sounds. If I eat that thing, it's going to affect me psychologically. Now, I know there are societies that are real bad, but I think the most shameless society you can find on this planet Earth is the American people. You are amongst those that are less developed, and they don't have these nasty habits. And those who fix up the Bible, they had respect for the word of God, and they had respect for people, for the human life and condition. So really, they never said that pig was good to eat. That's the church. That's the interpreted way that Jesus Christ said, behold, I make everything new. Making everything new doesn't mean that everything is fit to put in your mouth. A new rat shouldn't be eaten. A new pig is still a pig. But before he was only a pig, and if you understand the science of Jesus Christ, how he is the son of science, the son of light, and the sciences in the world. And now when he shines on a pig is no more a pig physically. A pig is a pig as a body of knowledge or science. So that's the newness of the pig. The intelligence has been advanced and lifted up and raised so that it doesn't see only a pig. It sees sciences in of the pig, sciences in the hair of the pig, sciences in the bones of the pig, so sciences in the life germ of the pig. And then he gets sciences, and he finds that this is a pig. This will heal this disease or help this condition in man. as medicine from the pig. Behold, I make everything new. So that's the newness. And in making everything new, he raises the value of everything previously perceived, because it is no more just a physical animal. It is an embodiment of knowledge and science. What's Cooley, Sheridan, Illman, Ruckman? Once again, what's Cooley, Sheridan, Illman, Ruckman? And he causes everything to be created to broadcast knowledge of science and mercy. Did mercy come to society before science? Only a little bit. But when the knowledge of the science came to society, the great relief came to man. It's a whole new possibility for life and comfort, or freedom from the sickness and the disease or pain, transported or transportation itself. Look how it has reduced the pain that people had to undergo to travel to their relatives who lived 1,000 miles away or less. It has all been brought about because of man's brain digesting what is engaging and then reproducing it for the benefit of society, knowledge and mercy. The whole creation, everything in it, everything speaks or does, no matter how small the material reality is. It all communicates knowledge of science and mercy. So that's the strongest urge in the soul and in the intelligence of man, of people. A lot of them don't register it because they are so taken by other things of less importance in the environmental circumstances, so they never are really turned on as an intelligent being or organism that wants to make sense of everything or make sense of things, that want to make sense of what it is exposed to or what it exposed to it. So they don't get that. But for those who are situated to start developing that way, the gravest urge in them is to do just that, make sense of things. You know, when babies come here, girls and boys, not just boys, when babies come here, it is obvious right away. As soon as it gets here, it's obvious that they have an interest in what their eyes have opening upon. Their mother would be holding them, and they'll be picking at their eye, at their skin, and want to know, what is this? And they don't know that the eyes is very sensitive, and sometimes they'll be ticking, and their mother would have to put their hand away from there, or going to put their hand right into their eyeball, right inside of, under the eyelid, where the eye is. They are going to touch that because they want to know. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. So the first appetite in humanity is not an appetite to fulfill our physical needs or to eat physically. It's the appetite to eat mentally. And that's the meaning of Adam. He created the first man. And he was Adam, meaning that the first man was the man that wanted to make sense of the world that he is exposed to, including himself. And so God says he taught him the names of all the things. Then the devil came up and offered him an apple. All the animals know to go to the physical thing and eat that isn't a big deal. But the human was made to go to the physical thing and eat it with his mind, not with his physical mouth and teeth, etc., but eat it with his mind and make sense of it to satisfy the human soul. Things have to make sense. And I don't know anything that burdens the African-American soul more than the church religion. And that's what holds them. That's what has held them up until now. And those that are still held in the human condition, they are still in the church, except for a few, a very few. And even those who leave the church, they don't leave the intelligence of Christian life. They just leave that, turn their intelligence off. So the worst of all of the citizens of this country are those who were brought up without knowledge and left with a belief that Jesus Christ, the physical conception or the physical concept, the physical conception of the physical concept that they see, that was introduced to them, that's a person and that's God. They are the worst off of all the African American people. They are the worst off of all the citizens of the United States of America. They are the ones that are so far from the light of intelligence that you don't see any evidence of it being in them at all. They are actually retarded, seriously retarded mentally. I'm not joking. So when you see them and they talk to you, their minds are so empty of anything that you can respect that much that it almost makes you want to cry, even in their false face, or turn and go somewhere and cry. And some of them are not immoral. They have decency. They respect you. They may say, "Hi, Mr. Muhammad." If they accidentally throw something on your car, they'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that." And they'll start trying to wipe it off. But they have no spirit to engage you in any intelligent conversation. So all they do, if they work, and some of them work too, they will go out and work, but they can only hold jobs that require little of no intelligence. They go to work, come back, eat, laugh with each other, go to bed, get up, and repeat it, and go back to work on the weekend. They'll go see Tarzan movie. And if you tell them that that isn't real, they'll say, it is real. They see in a movie on the screen actually happens or is real. And I've been in the movie. I know it. I've been in the movie with them and heard them argue with each other. The more intelligent ones or the more educated ones were trying to tell the other one, "Man, that didn't happen. That ain't real. He didn't die. He didn't get killed." The other one would say, "He did, man. He did. I heard this myself." And believe me, as advanced as this world is right now, I guarantee you, you could ask the people in the audience, mostly African American, but as a few other races too, you ask them, "Can that really happen? Is that real?" They would say, "It is." Or they might not say anything. They may just remain silent and just look at you just to say, "I don't understand what you are talking about." That's reality. That's reality. And I will tell you how you can see the effects of unnatural things occurring on these people whose minds are not developed by knowledge or by learning, you see the behavior on the screen and see how the behavior on the screen suggests that you won't die if you jump off this high building. Or if you get shot, you can get right back up and keep going. Then you look at the violence in the public life and the life of the people and see how they just invite death. It's been planted in them. Psychologically, to think without thinking or to feel without thinking, that I can be shot and still live, can be thrown off the seventh floor window or ledge and get up off the ground and keep going. So what am I saying is that this what appears to be a desire just to kill themselves is more than that. It's the plus or the couple with influence that have reached their minds and have made them tend to take risks. They risk life with a picture in mind of them surviving it, escaping it, getting back up, and keep running or keep walking. In the movie, they may see someone get shot, get knocked down, and appear in another movie, right? They would think, I saw that guy get killed. There he is again. They see a guy, this is fiction, all fiction. But the ignorant, they can't separate fiction from reality all of the time. This guy gets shot by 10 or 12 men with automatic weapons, and he keeps coming. So when the police say stop, their minds go back to the movie subconsciously. And they think that they can keep walking against a barrage of bullets. And the proof is that they do it. They threaten the police and keep disrespecting them and keep threatening the police. And the police is shooting, and they are still coming. So if we can give people religion that respects their intelligence, it will lift the value and the worth of human beings in society high enough for Hollywood and the police and law enforcement and everything to have a higher appreciation and a respect for human life. It has to come from religion, just like religion has been responsible for not only lifting human life up, but responsible also for fixing creation. Certain people who are not self-assertive enough to meet the challenge of life. It has fixed it so they can be satisfied with a religion of mankind believe, and that keeps them from advancing their life. And intelligent, inshallah, we are going to defeat it. Yes, we are. We are defeating it. It's slow, but we are defeating it. And there are other people who feel the same as we feel. But most of them don't have faith in the value of the common person created by God like we do. Even those who know that language, most of them don't have the faith in the common person that we have. So the people are not forming beneath the standards for human beings and a human intelligence, because they are really ignorant. Only a few of them are ignorant. Only a few of them are retarded. Only a few of them are impaired physically or have psychological problems. They are not really in the situation, in a condition to be lifted up in life. For the great many, the big numbers amongst those people that are really dropouts, not only dropouts, of school, but they drop out of the human life. The great majority of them are victims of a make-believe world that starts right in the church. And if ever reality can be shown to them, they will come into a new mind and a new interest and a new determination to work for their elevation and new determination to work for their elevation in society. I know that. Humans is one family. People are one family. Spirit never dies. We can't stop because the spirit does not die. It is devoted to God's pleasure. And God's pleasure is doing what's good for mankind in the world and taking care of the world that he created for your mind. That's his pleasure. And if you stay devoted to his pleasure, then your spirit never dies. Your body dies, but your spirit is still strong as ever. So the divine justice is that spirit lives. Now, God does not give us knowledge of how to survive this physical world. He doesn't give us that. And we shouldn't even try to form any language to explain that. All we can say is what we know. And what we know is that the spirit never dies unless you are dead already. If you are dead already, the spirit dies with your body or with your dead body. But body gone, spirit gone. But if your spirit has been freed before you die, free from the body, even free from the physical universe, and you're living still with a strong desire to serve your Lord, now, wouldn't that be an unjust law to cut you off about you like that? That would be an abortion. So I know that there is a reality higher than this reality. So we know here, and I think God has already put me in it, and when this closes out, I think I'll be free in another dimension. I'm not saying this to scoop you all up. In fact, I don't care to say it to you. Really, I'm just saying it because it is conversation, and it's good conversation for me. But I have confidence that God is not that kind of God, that he would turn your life on, and then at the particular point when your life has been turned on, to really serve him in a bigger reality, then he finishes and aborts you, and he won't give you a chance to live your aspirations to continue your work in service to him. So that's why he says, enter you amongst my servants, enter you my paradise. It's true of this said, and also the other said, so one thing we do know of the other side is that the other side gives us an opportunity to do more work. And that's a man's happiness. A real man's happiness is his work. Jesus Christ, when he was going about the business and his business in the world, was to serve his job and his mission. He said to a person who interrupted him, I have to be about my father's business. Now, when he said that, he identified himself as a worker on earth for his father in his father's business. Isn't that the same thing observed of Prophet Muhammad? They have the same spirit. Allah says to him that all of us are God's servants. A slave better be about his father's business. So father here means his boss. he had better be about his father's business, because he knew that the consequences of not being about his father's business right away, when you say slave, you know his whole life is a life in service under his master. One word just opened up his whole life, because you know his master isn't going to give him any freedom to do anything other than that. So you may say, well, he is Satchmo Armstrong, or she's Billie Holiday. No. If he is a slave, there is no Satchmo Armstrong. There is no Billie Holiday. There is, because the slave master doesn't have that kind of situation for you to be a Billie Holiday or a Satchmo Armstrong. So you don't have any other profession. You have no other outlet. You have no other freedom. You are a slave to your master. That's the way the servant of God are. But he gives you so much to do. He wants you to express the fullness of your capacity and your potential to serve him in the world. And he created so what a different kind of master a slave can be a Billie Holiday, and at the same time be on the path working hard for God. So I think the saying goes like this: for the church person, I'd rather be a servant or a doorman in the house of the Lord than to be in the highest position in the world. It really means I'd rather be free and have little than to be man's slave and have the world. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. For this evening, Elihu Bey, we will continue this tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.